Isaiah chapter 40 this morning and the verse 1 and 2, if we read that again. Comfort ye, the Lord says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The theme, as I've said, the last two Sabbath mornings of these opening verses, and indeed this whole chapter, and indeed all the remaining 27 chapters of the book of Isaiah, the theme is comfort. And that theme has engaged our thoughts. We have seen how greatly the Lord is interested in the comfort of his true people. It's something near his heart. And so he raises up comforters, and he gives them this double command, this double commission. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. So it's something God is greatly interested in. God himself is a comforter. He's the God of all comfort, the Bible says. Isaiah chapter 51, verse 12. I am he that comforteth you. Both the Son of God and the Holy Spirit are called comforters in the Bible. So it is something God himself engages in, as well as calling his servants to do. And of course, all this assumes that the people of God need comfort. And of that there is no doubt. For those of us that always are needing the comfort of the Lord, we can know and be assured it's always at hand, because it's something close to his heart. We looked at several reasons why he is so interested in comforting his church, why it is so near to his heart, and why he so earnestly and so urgently commands his ambassadors to engage in this ministry. But today we want to consider a new theme. We want to ask ourselves the question, how does God comfort his people? We want to inquire, how does he do it? By what method and means is comfort to be brought to the people of God? God commands his servant. He commands his servant, saying, comfort you, my people. But he doesn't leave him in the dark as to how to do it. The verse doesn't end at verse 1. If the Lord had just left off at verse 1, we'd be left to human wisdom to come in and find a way how to do this. God has told us to comfort his people, but he hasn't told us how. And we don't know how to go about it. What are the methods and the means of the comfort of the saints? And of course, there'd be some men, and they'd be very happy for the verse to end there. And they can bring in their own methods and means of comforting the people of God. Getting an atmosphere up in the meetings by some other method or means. Oh, human wisdom would like to be left to its devices to comfort the saints in their own way. But God hasn't left his servants to their own human methods and wisdom to know the process and the method and means of comfort. The comfort of human wisdom is all a dream. Human wisdom doesn't get to the bottom of human problems. Human wisdom has no answer. Human wisdom just puts a plaster kind of thing on a deadly cancer, or a little sticky plaster on a burst artery. That's the human method and means of comfort. That's all it would amount to. But the comfort of the people of God is substantial, and it's real, and it's true, and it's ministered in the way that God has commanded it to be ministered. My emphasis this morning is about God's method and means of comforting. We are not so much talking about the comfort itself. We'll get to that, God willing, next week. We're not talking about the medicine. The medicine is here in verse 2 in a message. But we're not talking about the medicine this morning. We're talking about the method and means to administer that medicine. That's what we're talking about. How does God comfort his people? What's the method and means he blesses and he uses? What's the method and means that he commands? So let's see what the Lord's comforting counselors are to do. How is the minister of the gospel to comfort the flock? How are we as the people of God to comfort and encourage one another? Well, the Lord says here, verse 2, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her. So the means are referred to in the text. How does God comfort his people? Well, you will notice that this comfort is to be administered by the spoken word, by the mouth, and particularly by preaching. Comfort comes by hearing. And comfort comes by hearing because faith comes by hearing. And there's no comfort without faith. If you're not hearing, you're not believing. And if you're not believing, you're not being comforted. Comfort comes by hearing because faith comes by hearing. The commission is clear. Speak. Speak. That's the spoken word. The word is translated speak, and it occurs very often in the Bible because you will know it's something we humans do quite a bit. We speak. And the word occurs very often in the scriptures. 8 times out of 10 it is translated speak. Sometimes it's translated talk or say or utter or pronounce. But it's all the same. It comes out of the mouth. It's a verbal word spoken. And that's the means and the method whereby God comforts his people. By the spoken word. It comes from the mouth of the comforter. It was how Christ comforted. Of course, he laid his hand on people and he touched them. But he always spoke a word as well. He didn't have to, but he always wanted them to have a word. Comforter who spoke. And that's the Holy Spirit is a comforter, and how does he comfort us? We are assured that the Holy Spirit only comforts us through his word. It's not some kind of magical feeling. Our airy, furry flutterings about us and in our heart. No. The Holy Spirit comforts us by the word as we believe it and receive it. There's no other way. We're not talking about electrical impulses brought into the heart in some mechanical way. No, it's by faith. And it's by the hearing of the word. That's how the Holy Spirit comforts us. He is the comforter who bears witness with our spirit, not through some airy-fairy feeling, but by the word as we embrace it and experience it in our hearts. And so those who want to be comforted, the very first thing they're going to have to do is to listen or to hear. It is no wonder the Christian who will not hear the word of God and who has no interest in listening to the word of God, it's no wonder that that Christian is often cast down. The Holy Spirit comforts by means of the spoken word as well as the written word. Now, I'm not denying, brethren and sisters, and I have to be treading carefully here, I'm not denying that sometimes medical help is needed. And if we're depressed and cast down, sometimes we have to find, if there's a physical reason underneath that, get our thyroid checked, blood checked, so on and so forth, just to rule out physical possibilities for an underlying sadness that afflicts our mind. We have to do that, and I'm not denying that, that sometimes we have to look at physical possibilities for our sadness. But mostly, whenever that is ruled out, unhappiness is a result of sin and unbelief. And of course, God recognizes that. And he says, speak you to my people, speak you comfortably to them. And what are you to speak to them about? About their sins. That they've been pardoned. And that they've been forgiven. And that the work of warfare against them is accomplished and finished. But most of our unhappiness is due to our sins. God knows that. And he brings in the gospel to comfort that. And we'll come to that, God willing, next week. But speaking must be the method and means of conveying that comfort into the mind and heart of the soul. We are to comfort by exhorting, by speaking. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and the verse 18. We read here that Paul has told them about the resurrection of the Lord, or the resurrection of the saints and the coming of the Lord. And he says there at the end of chapter 4, wherefore comfort one another with these words. The word can be translated exhort. It is in other places. Exhort, comfort, it's the same sort of thing. Comfort is by exhortation. That's the method. That's how God comforts his people. By exhorting them in the word. And God's people, yes, all of God's people, on a personal level and on a personal basis, they are to administer comfort by exhorting the people of the Lord. But the text in Isaiah primarily refers to preaching. You see, it is to Jerusalem that the speaking is to be done. It is to the body of the people of God. So we're not talking about a personal exhortation and a personal comforting ministry, in which we all, as the people of God, are to engage in, for we're to exhort one another daily. But this command is particularly to his ambassadors, who are to address the people of God as a body. Speak ye to Jerusalem. That's a very often occurring word in Isaiah. And it's not talking to the streets and the buildings in the middle of Palestine that God has in mind. It's talking to the people of God, who in these days were in the main assembled in that Jerusalem that is in the land of Israel. And the ambassadors are to preach to the people of God, to the body of the saints. So it is preaching that is referred to in the main in the context. And of course that's brought out by the word cry. Cry particularly brings this out as the preaching of the gospel, because the cry here is a loud public proclamation, and the individual referred to here is a herald or a crier officially appointed to preach the gospel among the saints. And so the word cry here is a reference to Jerusalem's watchmen, those who have the solemn task to preach the gospel, and those who feel the solemn awe if they don't. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. And so the child of God, this is essential for your comfort and your spiritual prosperity, that you hear the gospel, that you attend the preaching. It is God's way. Let human wisdom develop other ways and methods if it will. But it will be seen to what end human wisdom will eventually go. Let us stand by the ways of divine and heavenly wisdom. And the Lord says, in the comfort of my people, speak and cry. That's heavenly wisdom's method. And the church should stick by it. Because preaching and preaching alone has the Spirit's blessing. It hardly needs to be said also that preaching, in order to be comforting, truly comforting to the people of God, must have several characteristics which can be drawn from the text itself. Preeminently, that preaching which comforts the people of God must be the preaching of the Word of God. The comforters are told not only that they must speak, the comforters are told not only that they must cry, but they're told what they should cry as well. And so the essence of the gospel here is contained at the end of verse 2. Cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. Tell the body of the saints that their iniquity is pardoned. And tell them that she hath received double of the Lord's hand. In spite of all her sins, that's what they're to hear. And so the preachers are given their message. They can't preach what they like. They're given their text. They have to preach the word of the Lord. They have to be able to say, as they stand before the holy God, and they have to be able to say, thus saith the Lord. And so it is preeminently the word of God that they speak. It is clear they cannot go beyond the text. They can apply the text. They can expound the text. They can bring out of the text. But they cannot pervert the text. And they cannot go beyond the text. Cry, thus saith the Lord. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. Many preachers, but one word. The word of the gospel. Jesus said, when ye go, preach. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Preach the word. There is nothing else. And so I beg you, brethren and sisters, the people of God, the true saints in this house, I beg you not to grieve the Holy Comforter by a disregard of the hearing of the word. Love the preaching and love the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. And in the union of two to your souls, you will have the comfort of the Lord that passeth all understanding, keeping your mind and heart through Christ Jesus. No, cut not your throat to your own comfort and spiritual blessing by despising the method and means of your comfort. If the preacher's to speak and to cry, you can be sure you, as the people of God who need the comfort of the Lord, have to hear and to listen. And so the church has always to be reforming and getting back to the primacy of preaching. And may God look upon us as a denomination and thrust upon us preachers. I be encouraged at the students in the Whitfield that we are being blessed with young men who can preach. Oh, it's a good token for days to come when God sends us preachers. Let other churches have organizers. Let other churches have administrators. Let other churches have clowns and actors. May our pews have all kinds of gifted men, statesmen, politicians, musicians, media experts, lawyers and solicitors, doctors and so on and so forth. Yes, let our pews be filled with such gifted men and women, but let our pulpit be filled
with preachers.
Preaching forth a glorious God, the Holy One of Israel, high and lifted up, whose train should fill the temple of God's house. Preaching the everlasting gospel of the grace of God. And of course that preaching must be earnest and authoritative. That's contained in the word cry. Preaching's not a wee talk. It's not a wee Bible reading for others to give their contribution. It's crying out with authority and with earnestness. The word of God burning in our hearts. Preaching has intensity. Preaching has certainty. Preaching has assurance and conviction. The pulpit is a place for passion and for fire. Cry! An illustration of that word cry is found in Isaiah chapter 6. And the verses 3 and 4. The seraphim around the thrones cried one unto another, said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. They weren't whispering in glory. They weren't having a wee confab. No. There were these burning seraphim. And they were burning. That's why they're called seraphim. They were burning for God. And they had the glow of God about them as they flew around the holy presence of God. And that burning glow reached down into their heart. And they cried, Holy, holy, holy Lord God of hosts. And they cried with such passion, with such earnestness, with such authority, that the very posts move. That's what comforts God's people. But I don't need to enlarge on the connotations of this word cry, seeing that we have seen it already in verse 3 when we preached on the gospel preacher there as declared in the verse 3 of this chapter. But one characteristic of the nature of this preaching that is to be done to comfort God's saints is set forth in that word in verse 2, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. How is the preacher to speak? Comfortably. This is true not only in preaching but also in personal encouragement, which you as a people of God are to engage in. You're to personally encourage one another on a personal level to your fellow laborers and believers on a one-to-one basis. You're to encourage them. You're to speak comfortably to your brethren and sisters. A practice that is growing exceedingly rare in the Church of Jesus Christ. The word literally is, as the margin says, is to the heart. Speak ye to the heart of Jerusalem. Or speak ye upon the heart of Jerusalem. That is, you're to speak to the heart. There is a way to speak to others. It is not enough to be orthodox and sound. It is not enough to be faithful to the word. It is not enough even to be earnest and passionate. We have to speak to the heart. It is not enough to reason with the mind. It is not enough to win all the arguments and to silence the people of God. No, we must win their heart. Speak to the heart as well as to the mind. And of course, to speak to the heart is to speak with love. We have to get to the heart. You have to win the heart. This is illustrated, this use of the word comfortably. It's illustrated in Genesis chapter 50 and the verses 15 to 21. Joseph's father is dead. And the brethren who treated Joseph so badly, of course there's a powerful gospel picture here, but that's not what we're doing when we turn to this. The brethren of Joseph, who have done so much wrong to Joseph, are afraid now. The father Jacob was a very strong restraining effect they felt upon Joseph. He wouldn't do anything bad to them while their father lived, but he's dead now, he's gone. And they're afraid that Joseph, now left of a father, will behave in a cruel manner to them on payback day. Verse 15, when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. They sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of thy servants, of the God, the servants of the God of thy father. Joseph wept. He's going to speak to them, but he spoke from a soft heart. He spoke from a heart that had been humbled itself. Joseph wept when they spake unto him. His brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, we'll not look at all that he said. Powerful exhortation, but you see, it's coming from the heart. And then it says at the end of verse 20, he comforted them. And that word there, comforted, is he comforted them and spake kindly to them. And the kindly part is the part that's translated comfortably in Isaiah chapter 40. He comforted them and spake comfortably unto them. He spake unto their hearts. He spake unto their hearts. Speaking is not about getting something off your chest. Just have your wee collection of words and just say it. Have your wee ABC sales talk and just deliver it. That's not how we witness to sinners. Like a kind of a sales talk. And get off our wee ABC. It has to begin feeling in here. Something for them. A brokenness for them. And words coming out of the brokenness have a power. And they kind of fall on the heart of the hearer. Speak ye comfortably. That's what we're to do. From the heart to the heart. Not just from the head to the head. We're not just to put some cold track into some person's hand and think we've appeased our conscience and done our bit. Joseph saw their fears and he felt for them and he said from his heart those comforting words, fear ye not. And that's what we have to do. We have to speak with a genuine, loving concern for people. Joseph wanted to calm those fears and help his brethren. He had to persuade them. And he did so because his words came from the heart to the heart. We read from 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and the verse 1 about our speaking. If I speak with the tongue of men and of angels and have not charity, I become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. We might as well just get the bands into the pulpit. We might as well have all the brass and the cymbals. We might as well just do that. If there's not love in the pulpit. And if there's not prayers behind our words. And of course, this requires us to have some acquaintance with the hearts of those that we witness to. And the pastor to have some acquaintance with the people that he preaches to. That is why the pastoral office exists for the church. It is to comfort the people of God. It's not just God's way to give the church ministers and teachers. Otherwise we could have a different minister in here every week. That's not God's way. He gives pastors and teachers. A different minister coming here every week doesn't know you. And likewise, when I go to a different congregation to visit, which I don't love doing, Because I don't know the people. Don't know their names. Haven't been praying for them during the week. Don't discern their burdens. Don't know the peculiarities of character. Can't see their weaknesses and their fears. They're just utter strangers to me. And I can preach the word, and ministers can come and preach the word to you, so on and so forth. But they don't know the widow or the widower or the one who's suffering from sickness or the one who's buried a child a year ago. Very often, visiting preachers just deliver a sermon. And God blesses us through that. But they can't really preach upon the hearts. Because you have to know the heart to some degree that you would speak to. And you have to have prayed for that heart to some degree that you preach to. It's the Holy Spirit's way. He forms the relationship of a pastor with the sheep so that he will be the comforter of the people of God. That's why tapes and recordings and sermon audio is not primarily God's way. It's not primarily God's way. They are ministers preaching, but they are not your pastors praying for you. The Holy Spirit makes overseers over the church for their comfort. And he cements the pastoral relationship. And so the most important thing of all, however, is the message of comfort. And we'll come to that next week. The only message that brings solid comfort is the gospel, that deals with really the root of our problems, our sins. In short, verse 2 is about Christ. Christ is in verse 2. Have you ever seen him there? He's there. The minister comforts you by preaching the finished work. The minister comforts you by preaching the cross of Calvary. That's the only ground of comfort that there is. So let me remind you in closing then, child of God, the basic lessons of this text. The Lord knows that you have fears. The Lord particularly knows that very often your fears arise because of your sins and your failures. God knows that. But he desires your comfort in the gospel. And he gives you the word of comfort in his word. And he brings you under the ambassadors of the gospel, under pastoral ministry, to receive and hear that comfort. He puts you in a Jerusalem because you have to be in a Jerusalem to hear this comfort. And so God's comfort is confined to Jerusalem. It's confined to the people of God. It's confined to the people of God as they meet as a body on the outer skirts of the heavenly Jerusalem, for we meet around the throne of God. We are a tabernacle, and the smoke of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, is above us, and we are an assembly in his name. We are the outer skirts of Jerusalem. We gather here. It is the only Jerusalem that we can gather. We gather here under the word. We gather here in trust in the Lord. We gather here in obedience to the word. We gather here to expect to be comforted by the ordinances of the gospel and by the preaching of the word. We gather here. Brethren and sisters, it is the will of God that you have a Jerusalem to gather at. It is the will of God that you have a consistent pastoral ministry be gathering under. It is. And it is as we trust and obey that the Lord doth comfort us in the means of grace. Isaiah chapter 66 and the verse 13 Isaiah 66 and the verse 13, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. In Jerusalem. And that closes the 66th book of Isaiah. But of the Jerusalem, which is the mother of us all, who are the true people of God, and have the true circumcision, which is not of the flesh, but that which is of the Holy Ghost. So find your Jerusalem, attend the speaking out, hear the word of the gospel, believe it, and be comforted, and come expecting the Lord to speak to you. Come expecting the Lord to speak to you. Come asking the Lord to speak to you. Do you sometimes say, I never get anything out of that preacher's sermon? It's pretty humbling to hear that at times. But you pray all the harder. Don't you be looking to me. You look to the Lord. And you come to God's house expecting the Lord to speak to you. And he will. For he's promised. And he loves the comfort of his saints.